Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Deadly whooping cough, once wiped out in the United States, is back. In the 1920s and 30s, whooping cough, also known as pertussis, was feared as a childhood killer, with as many as 250,000 cases and 9,000 deaths recorded annually. But in the 1940s, a new combined vaccine was introduced against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, commonly known as the DPT vaccine, and by 1976, pertussis was virtually eliminated in this country, or so we thought. Fast forward to today, and we are now in the midst of an alarming rise in the number of cases of this disease reported nationwide, with California experiencing an epidemic that's been called the worst outbreak in 50 years. What's more, recent data from the Centers for Disease Control show that in addition to California, upstate New York and the Midwest are regions with some of the largest increases. So why is this happening? And who is getting sick? And what can we do to protect ourselves and our families from this highly contagious disease? Joining me this morning is Dr. Leonard Weiner, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and an expert in pediatric infectious diseases. Welcome, Dr. Weiner.
Good morning.
Well, you're just the person we need to help answer these questions. You've been specializing in pediatric infections for quite some time. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, tell us about pertussis or whooping cough. What is it and what causes it?
I think your introductory comments were right on the mark. We had almost forgotten about pertussis as a childhood and adolescent illness, and now we're faced in the past 10 years, not only this year, but in past 2003, 2004, with some significant upswings in the amount of pertussis nationwide. New York State was not spared previously, particularly upstate, and New York State, particularly upstate and central New York, is not being spared now.
So we have quite a rise. I think I read somewhere 126% increase over last year in the number of cases here in upstate New York.
That's correct.
Yeah. What is, give me some, you know, an example or some of the symptoms of whooping cough. People probably are not as familiar with what it looks like.
Right. The classic description, which includes a prolonged cough with a long whooping sound afterwards, of course, is what most people associate with pertussis. And this was, and still is, commonly encountered in the youngest children and infants who get pertussis. But the population of adolescents and adults who, frankly, are our reservoir for pertussis disease throughout the country, may have a much less typical course.
So when you say a reservoir, explain that further. You mean that that's where you see more cases of the disease occurring?
Correct. What we mean is that the cases in those age groups are not as typical as they are, as I mentioned, in the younger age group, and therefore go undiagnosed or diagnosed late. And they are, these individuals who are ill with pertussis, unfortunately, are able to transmit it readily to others who are at risk and not immunized. Pertussis is a highly contagious disease. People need to remember that.
How is it transmitted?
It's transmitted by cough, by respiratory spread.
Okay.
It's not transmitted by touching surfaces. It really is contact directly with an individual who is coughing, and as they cough, they tend to spread this bacteria. It's
but
a bacterial disease.
It's not really deadly in that age range you described, the 11 through 64, 65. It's the effect that it would have on a younger age group.
Almost all the deaths due to pertussis occur in the first year or two of life.
So infants.
However, it's important to remember that prolonged cough and the other symptoms that go along with adult and adolescent disease can be at least temporarily fairly limiting, if not debilitating. And if you have underlying disease of some other sort, that would only make matters worse. You
know. So our infants are still being regularly immunized. There's a standard protocol, correct, for that?
Correct.
But, go ahead.
All infants are immunized with the new pertussis-containing vaccine called DTaP. That stands for diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis, at 2, 4, and 6 months of age, somewhere between 12 and 15 months of age, and then again a preschool dose between 4 and 6 years of age.
And you were mentioning before we started the interview that there's also now a requirement?
Well, all of those times that I just described are a requirement for school entry. There is now in New York State a requirement for return to school that has a adult adolescent formulation of the same vaccine as a prerequisite for entry into sixth grade.
Right. But nevertheless, this immunity, even though it may be developed adequately up to about age 6 or 7, after that, there's the potential for there to be waning immunity in that population. In other words, we lose, despite the fact that we've gotten the vaccine, by a certain point in everyone's life, we lose that immunity.
That's absolutely true, and that's the reason for this new recommendation, which includes sixth grade, but nationally, the Centers for Disease Control are, and you've alluded to the age group already, are recommending that between the ages of 11 years of age and 64 years of age, that a booster called Tdap be given, we have to play, that's a recent recommendation, we have to play catch up for all the people out there. It's unfortunate, but I venture to say that most of our listening audience under 64, unfortunately, have not received their Tdap immunization.
And that's important, once again, statewide, that's important in terms of this notion of controlling the spread of this disease,
right,
in terms of this herd immunity concept.
If we don't, that's correct, if we don't immunize all these individuals who may develop the disease, and as I said before, as adults or adolescents, it's not so typical in its presentation, so it takes physicians a little longer to figure out that it's pertussis. During that time interval, unfortunately, for example, if you're a member of the high school band and you're at your band practice and coughing and potentially spreading, and your fellow students have not been immunized, we have a easy possibility for spread of pertussis, and I think anybody who looks at the paper knows that we've had adolescent outbreaks in our high schools in Central New York over the past year, and that's part of that increase that you mentioned earlier.
So while it's, however, while it's uncomfortable for the individuals that those of adolescents or adults having the disease, it is not necessarily life-threatening. Where the danger is that they could infect far younger children or infants who then would be quite at risk.
That's true, and it's also true if they tend to transmit to other adults who have underlying disease,
right,
unrelated to pertussis, then you can have significant morbidity and even mortality.
Yes, so it basically can be life-threatening to those perhaps,
right,
who have some kind of underlying
particularly underlying lung disease or
yeah,
other immunocompromise.
Right.
Right.
So what's your recommendation then? What's the big problem here? It seems to me that if somebody's dropped the ball here or potentially dropped the ball when it comes to the booster that's now being recommended,
right,
that you described.
So we have Tdap, which is capital T, capital D, small a, P. That is the booster vaccine for pertussis and tetanus and diphtheria. All are contained in there. It replaces the old tetanus shot that you used to get every 10 years. And at one time that became tetanus, diphtheria, TD, but now the recommendation is that physicians and healthcare providers and emergency rooms do not use TD. They use this new Tdap, and by having that reach the population from 11 to 64 at a level adequate to prevent pertussis, we've kind of eliminated the reservoir, the people who have it that don't know they have it and are less likely to transmit it. Now, you know, in the old days, people referred to, and still do, to pertussis as the 100-day cough. That's a lot of cough, even for an adult who's trying to function normally. So we really need to get this Tdap booster, not only for those entering school at the sixth grade, which is the requirement, but more importantly for everybody over the ages of 11 up till 64. And the only way to do that, of course, is to make everyone aware of the recommendation, to make sure that physicians are following that recommendation. And in that sense, we could have some impact, we haven't yet, on the spread of pertussis and this reservoir that I talked about.
Are we fighting a bit of a kind of a PR battle, though, when it comes to vaccinations currently in our current culture, where there's been so much talk, especially with infant vaccinations and the link to autism? Could we be fighting that in terms of some people opting out of vaccinating their children, but also adults may be looking somewhat askew at vaccines?
Well, I hope not. I think the data clearly shows that all of the vaccines presently recommended in this country are safe and effective and are not associated with any long-term adverse consequence, whether it be autism or anything else. Vaccines are the most studied medical intervention that we do in the U.S. I think, though, it is true that there's just a sense of, well, you know, I get immunized when I'm an infant and a child, but when I reach adulthood, I don't need to be immunized. We're fighting the same battle constantly with influenza vaccine. We're fighting the same battle with HPV vaccine. We really need to focus on educating both healthcare providers and patients as to the importance of these vaccines. I want to say, however, that Tdap, which is the vaccine we're talking about for those over 11 through 64, is for pertussis as well as tetanus and diphtheria. We've wiped out tetanus and diphtheria because we've had effective vaccine for a long time. We need to do the same with the pertussis part. It's unfortunate that pertussis is the only vaccine-preventable disease in the United States that is on the increase. I have to say that again. We have an effective vaccine, but this disease is increasing over past years, where all the other diseases we vaccinate against have really essentially gone away.
Maybe underscoring what I just alluded to before, that there is potentially a kind of, a PR issue there.
Yeah, I think there's some complacency about pertussis. I think there's some need to educate our listeners, the public at large, and even healthcare providers.
Well, I think perhaps we've done a little bit of that this morning. Dr. Leonard Weiner, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and specialist in pediatric infectious diseases, thanks so much for helping shed light on this very important topic. Clearly, we need to use what science has offered us to try to protect ourselves and our families, and you've done a great job of helping us understand that. Thanks again. Well, we've got to take a short break. Please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR.